But right now, I'm very happy to welcome back to our program Patty Lavera. She's Assistant Director of Food and Water Watch, who coordinates their group's food team. And Patty, so glad you could make the program tonight. Appreciate that.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So maybe just say a word about the work you do at Food and Water Watch before we get to our topic, which is the FDA's recent approval of genetically modified salmon. We'll get into in a minute. But generally speaking, tell us about the work that you do at Food and Water Watch. I know you have a presence in Paris as well, monitoring the negotiations there.
Sure. Yeah, we actually have a couple folks that went over to Paris and are doing lots of the outside events, in part because we do a lot of work trying to ban fracking. And so that's a big, it has to be a piece, you know, of how we deal with fossil fuels has got to be a piece of this conversation about climate change. So our work overall for Food and Water Watch, we're really focused on getting people involved to find, you know, policy solutions to make sure that everybody has access to sustainable, you know, affordable, good, clean food and water. I think that we have to make policy changes to make that happen. We have to get everybody involved to make that happen.
Thanks for that. Well, as we get to our topic here, just briefly, I'll describe the events which we're going to be discussing, and that is the Obama administration and their FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, recently approved genetically modified salmon created by the Aqua Bounty Company in Massachusetts for sale to consumers across the United States. And I believe this is the first time the FDA has approved a genetically modified animals to be part of our food system. So, Patty, as we begin here, tell us about this GMO salmon and why your group is opposed to its sale in the U.S.
So this would be the first food animal that's going to be allowed on the market that's been genetically engineered. There have been some previous animals, but they weren't things that were destined for our food. So this is a big precedent, and we, lots of groups, including Food and Water Watch, opposed it for a long time. There's a bunch of reasons we're concerned about it. We don't need it. The supposed, you know, benefit from this and why they engineered this salmon is that it's supposed to grow faster in fish farms and get to market size sooner. It's not clear if that's actually going to hold up, but that's what they said. That's, you know, there's a whole conversation there about whether we need to do that or we have other ways we can, you know, get people fish as a food. And then we have a lot of questions about what FDA doesn't really know about this thing. So we had a lot of questions and we were concerned about the review process they used, both in terms of whether it's safe to eat and whether it poses risks to the environment. And we don't think FDA did a very good job on either of those fronts. And so that's why we were very unhappy to see them approve this.
What's the environmental record of this company that's producing these GMO salmon, Aqua Bounty? I've read some disturbing reports of how they've conducted themselves as a food producing company.
So this is a company that is headquartered in the United States, but when they got approved by the FDA, they put a very specific business plan into the FDA for producing this GMO salmon. And that business plan is that they would raise the eggs, the fish eggs, at a facility in Canada, and then they would raise the fish themselves. They'd take those eggs and they would, you know, grow them out, the full-sized fish, at a facility in Panama, and then they would send just the pieces, you know, they would send the pieces that we were going to eat to the United States. That's what got approved by the FDA. And in looking at the materials and the review process, we do have some concerns about what's been going on with the facilities that the company has run. So there are Canadian environmental groups who are currently suing the Canadian government for their review process of letting that facility in Canada happen. In the course of that lawsuit, we've gotten some documents that have been released about problems at that plant, including, you know, an outbreak of disease at that plant in Canada that the FDA didn't know about until a bunch of groups like ours, you know, let them know it was in those Canadian documents. And then the Panamanian facility actually got fined by the government there for violations of their environmental rules. And there have been some incidents where there were there's still a very vague description of what happened. Something went wrong at one point a few years ago, and all of the salmon that they had been growing there they described as lost, and we still don't have a great handle on what happened there. Probably they just died, but it's not clear. So there's a lot of questions about whether this is a company that is on top of what we need if you're going to do something that's controversial, which is real containment to make sure they don't get out.
Well, Patty, just going back to the composition of this genetically modified salmon, as I've read a little bit about this, there's apparently genetic material from Pacific Chinook salmon and adding some DNA from an eel-like creature called the ocean pout. What do you think the dangers are inherent in this combination of DNA and this artificially created fish now that some people refer to as the Frankenfish?
Right. So, I mean, really we're left with a lot of questions. So the FDA decided about 7 or 8 years ago, they decided that they were going to evaluate genetically engineered animals that we eat, that they would do the process like they were a veterinary drug. So we actually filed a petition with the FDA to say, why don't you regulate this as a food additive since we're going to eat it? And they said, no, we're going to regulate it as a drug. In doing so, there's a lot of limitations about what they look at in terms of what do we know about the components of this fish when we go to eat it. You know, is it the same in terms of things like growth hormones because it was engineered to grow faster? That's the change they wanted to make. What do we know about potential allergies, things like that? So is it the same as a, you know, kind of a conventional salmon we would eat without these genetic changes? And when we looked at FDA's documents, and we're still plowing through, you know, what they put out with the approval, we're not convinced they looked at everything they should have looked at to see if this was the same as an unengineered salmon. And then there's a lot of questions about the risk this could pose to the environment if it were to get out of a facility where it's being raised. You know, if it is going to grow faster, it may need to eat more. Is it going to, you know, outcompete, you know, other native species wherever it gets out? You know, there's a lot of questions about whether or not these would all be sterile if they got out. Could they interbreed with wild populations? There's a lot of environmental questions as well about the potential, you know, consequences you could have on the ecosystem and if they got out when they weren't supposed to.
Well, that's an important question, is it not? Because if these genetically modified salmon found a way to breed with natural wild salmon species, it could have the potential to forever alter wild salmon and you know, their natural origins, their natural genome. That sounds pretty serious. Are these GMO salmon being raised in pens in open water somewhere that the likelihood of them escaping and getting out to breed with wild salmon is a realistic issue here, a realistic potential issue?
So that's one of the biggest concerns. So what I mentioned earlier that, you know, the company got a very specific business plan approved. And so that plan calls for containment. It does not call for raising these things in what we are used to seeing as a salmon farm, which is, you know, open nets in open water. And we know that salmon get out of those farms. This is something that's been documented all over the world. We don't have salmon farms in the U.S. But everywhere else in the world that they have them, they have lots and lots of those salmon escaping. So that's not what the FDA approved at this point, but we're concerned that it could be coming. So we asked this specifically when the FDA approved it, and they kept saying, oh, well, you know, we can only do them at this facility in Canada and this facility in Panama, and they'll be contained. But we asked what has to happen, and so the FDA said that the company could file a supplemental application, essentially, and get permission to raise them somewhere else. And we also know the company has said in the media they're interested in doing this in other countries. And so we worry about, you know, do they convince regulators in China or Chile or places like that to let them do it there? And are the controls going to be in place to make sure these things aren't ever raised in one of those conventional salmon farms? Because we know that in those conventional salmon farms, the fish get out.
Now, Patty, in looking at why this company, Aqua Bounty, is pushing this GMO salmon, I can only think of one reason why they're doing it, and that's to increase their profit, because these salmon, as they're genetically modified, grow faster and larger than natural salmon, and therefore presumably larger profits for the company producing them. And the risks seem pretty high to someone who has not steeped in the science like you are. But what is the first date that these salmon are scheduled to be sold in stores across the country?
So that, we don't have a great answer on that, but it should be a little while. They have to start producing them. They just got permission to do so, you know, a few weeks ago before Thanksgiving. So I've seen different reports, but most reports say it would be many months to well over a year before these would hit the market. One of the problems, though, is that the FDA gave this permission. They said it's legal now to sell this product, but they did not require it to be labeled. They had a choice to do so. That was an option on the table. They laid out conditions for how you could, the company could voluntarily choose to label it, but they didn't require it. And that's going to cause a lot of chaos, as people are concerned about this. It's going to cause a lot of confusion. So it's not, people probably aren't going to run into it in stores right away, but at some point they could, and we're left kind of having to use other labels to try to figure this out.
Well, that brings up a lot of questions. We're speaking tonight here on Counterpoint with Patty Lavera, Assistant Director of Food and Water Watch, and she coordinates her group's food team investigating issues like GMO salmon. Patty, what's the reaction of salmon fishers across the USA, most particularly in Alaska, where there's concern that people getting information about these GMO salmon and the lack of labeling, it might lead consumers, many consumers, to just stop buying salmon thinking, hey, this stuff is not being labeled deliberately so that, you know, what I'm buying, I'm not really sure what it is. And folks who are fishing for salmon and selling it in stores across the U.S., may see a real downturn in sales. I'm sure you've thought through a lot of this more than I have. What's the potential downside for natural salmon fishers?
Well, you named one of them. I mean, we are talking to those folks, and actually some of the most outspoken opponents of this in Congress are the senators and the congressmen from Alaska. They're really leading the charge, trying to see what else can be done on this issue. For that exact reason. So, you know, the Alaskan salmon fishery is really well managed. It's a really successful fishery, and they've made a name for themselves, you know, really marketing salmon, and they don't want to see people being afraid to eat it. They're also concerned about those environmental impacts we were talking about a few minutes ago, because there are a lot of salmon farms on the west coast of Canada and British Columbia, and they're already concerned about the impacts those salmon farms have without adding this genetically engineered salmon to it. So right now, the advice we would give people, and it's asking a label that wasn't designed for this to kind of do double duty, we do have labels in grocery stores. We don't get them in restaurants, but we do in grocery stores have labels that tell us if the fish is farmed or wild caught and what country it's from. And so what the FDA approved was that these fish would be raised in Panama and they would be farm raised. So if you start to see those two things, that could be this GMO salmon. We don't have an explicit label to tell you where it is, but those are two things we know under the plan that got approved that we could help people use to try to figure it out.
That's a sad state of affairs where you have to kind of read between the lines of what's going on in your food market to know where your food is coming from. That's disgraceful. It puts consumers in a really bad position, deliberately here it seems.
Yeah, I mean, FDA had an option to require labeling, and they didn't, because we're in the middle of a much bigger fight that I think I've been on your show to talk about before, about labeling genetically engineered foods in general. And part of the motivation, I think, for FDA is they didn't want to start labeling one and then have to label others. They kind of stuck to their historic mistake of not requiring these things to be labeled, and they continued that bad trend with this decision.
Now, I know there are some stores that will not be carrying, have made a conscious decision not to carry genetically modified salmon. What are the regulations for a store that might carry this product, this GMO salmon, and label it as what it is, GMO salmon from Panama or from whatever farm raising facility it's from? Would they potentially be liable for a federal fine of some kind? Would they be breaking the law?
No, if they chose to label it, they could. So that's what FDA likes to put out there. that this, it's an option for you to voluntarily choose to label. And they give some guidelines about what an accurate label would be. Historically, though, with other genetically engineered foods, voluntary labeling hasn't amounted to much for consumers. So the practical effect of that, you know, allowing a voluntary label pretty much is not, is consumers not seeing a label. Most stores don't choose to do so. Most, you know, food processors don't choose to do so unless they're being required to.
I've read that several large national food retailers like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Target, Kroger, Safeway, Costco, and Red Lobster restaurants have all said they will not be carrying genetically modified salmon. Can they advertise that to their consumers? Can they tell their consumers, look at this, you know, this fish counter, there's no GMO salmon in here? Or could a restaurant basically say, we do not serve GMO salmon? Do they have that option?
They do. It better be true, right? They better not be making any false claims if they change their policies. But yeah, that's their company policy, and they, you know, carry that through, and they're living up to that. Yeah, they can make that claim. And you see different stores say things like that about other things. You know, we buy local, we source this, we don't carry that. And if it's an accurate claim, they should be able to do that. If people want to look at that list, they can Google something called the Campaign for GE-Free Seafood, and there's kind of a running list of stores who have said, you know, we pledge not to carry it. I expect to see some more stores that get on that list now that this is actually a legal product.
And what can you tell us about the organizing yours and other groups are doing to try to prevent genetically modified salmon from making its way to food stores across the country and restaurants?
Yeah, so if people are on a list of a group like Food and Water Watch or Friends of the Earth or Center for Food Safety, a lot of groups are working together to try to get more retailers to do this. You know, we spent a lot of years trying to get the FDA not to do this. Unfortunately, they did, and so now we have to deal with that reality. One way to deal with that is to try to get more grocery stores to make a position, you know, to make their company policy that they won't stock this. And so if you are on email lists for groups like ours, you'll be getting notices about ways to get involved with that. If you don't want to wait for that, wherever you go shop, you could find the store manager and tell them, or tell them on their Facebook or on their website, you know, in a comment page, something like that. And then also, you know, we're talking to lots of folks in Congress about what can we do at least to get people some disclosure. And so there's a pretty good debate going on right now, and I think we'll have some opportunities hopefully soon to push at least a discussion in Congress to say, can we get this thing labeled if it's already been approved? And so the senators from Alaska and some of the coastal states are starting to talk to each other to figure out if there's a way to get that done.
Wow. So there's a lot going on here, Patty. But as you said a few moments ago, the overarching issue here is the labeling of GMO foods. And while the European Union and many other major countries around the world mandate the labeling of GMO foods, that's not the case here in the United States. And I know there are some states around the country where there have been referendums that have failed thus far. Some state legislatures like Vermont and Connecticut are moving towards eventual labeling of GMOs if surrounding states also sign on to such an agreement. But what's the status of efforts at the federal level and the state level to move towards GMO labeling?
Sure. Well, all of the good news has been coming from the state level, which is sadly frequently the case. So you mentioned a couple. So Connecticut and Maine have both passed bills in their legislature that got signed, but they have a waiting period. Basically, other neighboring states have to pass something similar for their labeling requirement to go into effect. Vermont last year passed a bill with no waiting period. And so Vermont is going to require mandatory labeling of GMO foods in about 6 months, in July of 2016. So they're the first, and it's a good law. It's ready to go. They're just, you know, they had a timeline to give companies time to prepare. The food industry is not too happy about that, so they are suing Vermont to try to make that make that law not go into effect. And they're also very busy in Washington, in Congress, trying to get Congress to preempt the states or block states from being able to do this. And we're in a really nasty fight about that right now. And like this week, we're worried about Congress flipping something into a funding bill for next year that would block a state law like Vermont. So we're really in a really heated battle right now to keep Vermont's law alive and then give us the option for other states to follow them.
If both houses of Congress, the House and Senate, pass a law that prohibits states from mandating GMO labeling, would President Obama sign such a law? Do we know?
Well, this is the question. And so lots of groups, and, you know, Food and Water Watch and a lot of groups from grassroots all the way up to national are trying to let him know that that would be a bad idea. The problem is, and this is what happens this time of year in Washington, we're really concerned that they would try to attach this to a much bigger bill that is would fund the government for all of next year, right? And it's this is why these are such dangerous times. You get these very controversial issues tacked onto a must-pass bill. You know, the government shuts down on Saturday if they don't pass this funding bill. So it's a tough call to be like, you know, to tell the president, oh, you got to veto this because there's something in there about labeling, you know, or there's something in there about this one particular thing when he's looking at a federal government shutdown. So the best thing we can do is to make it so controversial that they can't add it to this funding bill and not be in a position of worrying about whether or not he can veto it, because it's kind of an impossible situation. And that's why we have such controversy over these must-pass bills. We really shouldn't be in this position, but here we are, and it creates this opportunity for mischief.
Well, Patty, thanks so much for sharing a lot of important information about the debate and fight over GMO foods, and particularly what we've been talking about tonight, the FDA approval of genetically modified salmon, now permitted to be sold in U.S. stores without labeling. And, Patty, leave our listeners with the website for your group, Food and Water Watch, and any other website that might be helpful for people who want to educate themselves and get more engaged in the issue.
Sure. So for Food and Water Watch, it's foodandwaterwatch.org. So we always have things going on these topics and ways to take action. And another good place is if people can just Google the campaign for GE-free seafood. There's a bunch of groups that are talking about what stores we want to get to pledge not to buy it, and that's another good one.
So foodandwaterwatch.org and campaign for GE free seafood is another website they can seek out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Patty. Look forward to talking with you with maybe some progress on this issue.
Because better news, yeah.
You know, better news. All right. Thanks so much, Patty. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Patty Lavera, Assistant Director of Food and Water Watch, coordinating their group's food team, talking about the FDA approval, the Obama administration FDA approving the sale of genetically modified salmon, the first GMO animal food product to be sold in the United States.